It often happens this way. We reach a milestone or have a peak experience, and then suddenly it seems like our life is turned completely upside down. When things feel very hard after feeling really great, many people wonder if they've done something wrong. Many people think God is punishing them or somehow has it in for them, or that they aren't supposed to experience feeling beloved and content, that they somehow don't deserve it because every time they really feel it, then something goes really wrong or something big changes in a really big way. In our gospel today, Jesus, having just heard the voice of God declare him beloved at his baptism, having been affirmed and blessed, goes into the wilderness, is led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tested. It's not a punishment. It's an invitation. He doesn't wind up in the wilderness because God is mad at him, but because God is crazy about him. It's because he is beloved that he has an opportunity to discern the kind of ministry he will embark upon, to test out and affirm how he will approach a variety of circumstances and do so with integrity. God has made clear at his baptism that Jesus is on the right track. The track now leads along a wilderness path. 40 days and 40 nights. He's fasting and praying. He's hungry. And he begins to receive visits from the adversary, the accuser. Traditionally, these experiences are referred to as the temptations of Jesus. But really, are they so tempting? Especially for someone who has spent a lifetime studying scripture and preparing for ministry, are they really that enticing? Turn rocks into bread. What for? There's no need to stockpile bread. There's only him to feed out there in the desert, and if there's more than one or two loaves, they'll go bad before he's near anybody else that he could share them with. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. What for? There's no need to create some sort of drama. He already knows. God loves him, cares for him, affirms him, supports him. Bow down and worship the adversary, the accuser. What for? There's no need to try and gain power over all the realms of the world when he already knows. Divine power dwells within him. Many commentators and many wise people have engaged these temptation narratives. As usual, some have explained them and some have explained them away, saying things like, well, of course you start to see and hear strange things when you've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and so on. And then some commentators and wise people have engaged the temptation narratives and interpreted them or translated them into terms and idioms that sound very familiar to me. One of these folks in the second category of interpreters and translators, as opposed to explainers and explainers away, is the late Henry Nouwen. Have you heard of him? Read his books? I've quoted him before from this pulpit. Henry Nouwen was a Roman Catholic priest from the Netherlands who taught for years at Notre Dame, Yale, and Harvard. And then he took a position living and working in a community of people with physical and intellectual disabilities in France. It was the very first L'Arche community. The teacher became the taught. Nouwen's views on leadership and ministry and life changed dramatically in those years. And after some years living in this community, Henry was asked to present some lectures and offer some wisdom to future leaders of the church. In fulfilling this request, he offered a study of Jesus' temptations. The study and other reflections were collected in a book entitled In the Name of Jesus, Reflections on Christian Leadership. It was published in 1989. I was in seminary. Nouwen identified Jesus' temptations as the temptation to be relevant, the temptation to be spectacular, and the temptation to be powerful. To be relevant, spectacular, powerful. Do these resonate? Who among us doesn't want to be relevant, connected to what's going on now? Which one of us hasn't repeatedly been lured and or admonished to be the best at whatever we're doing? Be great. Be spectacular. And show me the person who hasn't struggled with power one way or another, whether wishing for more of it, trying not to abuse it, trying to get rid of it, or something else. I read Nouwen's Temptations Reflections when I was in seminary. They stuck with me. But over the years, I remembered and misremembered them. I sort of transposed or paraphrased them. When I would think about Nouwen's assessment, what I would recall were these three temptations: to be useful, to be important, to be powerful. Useful, important, powerful. And here's what I've noticed over these last 30, almost 35 years of applying what I recall of Nouwen to my own life. I have come to understand that I am important to a number of people in several concentric circles of relationship from various periods and chapters across my life, which is to say, my importance is created in relationship to others and to God and to myself. And I have come to see that I have personal power, not absolute power, not control, which is mostly an illusion, but influence over my own circumstances and the capacity to influence others for good or for ill. So most of the time, I feel I do okay with the temptation to be important and the temptation to be powerful, but did you hear the one I skipped? To be useful. My mom used to say, make yourself useful as well as ornamental. Another old saying has it, don't just stand there, do something. Positively, both of these are a summons to make a contribution, to add value to the common life of which we are a part. But this sneaks up on me in less positive ways. I succumb to this temptation when I say yes too easily, too often, to too many good things. It's perhaps my Achilles heel. Is it also yours? My desire to be useful, connected to a desire to be productive and to maintain good relationships, runs so deep that it can lead me to unproductive, disconnected busyness, to a calendar without room for reflection and without space for dinner with friends, to a rhythm of life so rapid that it becomes devoid of the very things that most nourish me and make life worth living. Temptations. Our Christian ancestors in the earliest centuries of the Jesus movement, the church, observed this season of Lent, in which we find ourselves, as a community retreat. It was an annual time of 40 days plus Sundays before the great 50 days of Easter, a time to assess and discern and realign where necessary. Lent is the first half of the great 100 days of Lent and Easter. Looking at the tests, the temptations faced by Jesus, we can also frame them as temptations for us, tests for us as a community. And as a community on retreat, assessing God's call to us as a congregation in this moment, they can serve for all of us together as well. Professor Matt Skinner, who teaches New Testament at Luther Seminary, suggests that these are tests about how we address human need nearby, about how we build our brand, our reputation, and about how we exercise influence. The stones into bread test in this framework then asked us, how well do we address human need nearby? Do we? We're doing that at St. Paul's with Loads of Love, a laundry ministry, which next goes out, the volunteer posse, tomorrow evening at Habana Plaza Coin Laundry at the corner of Flagler and Kennedy. If you'd like to participate, see me or see Sarah, who's back here in the choir. A couple places, at least once a month. This ministry respects the dignity of every human being by helping some folks in our community get their clothes and towels and bedding clean and dry. It's pretty pricey around here. We are addressing human need nearby. You make it possible every month through the True Fund and the Rector's Special Assistance Fund. We use that money to meet needs for members of the community beyond the congregation of St. Paul's. Utilities assistance, emergency medical and dental procedures, and so on. We address human need nearby. We live in Key West and the Lower Keys. Haiti is nearby. With the ABC sale, which happened yesterday and is not quite over, yesterday you helped to raise $6,000, which will be sent every penny to support the Episcopal Good Samaritan School in the town of Bondo, Haiti, through the South Florida Haiti Project. The sale continues. You can get your coffee hour on and still buy sale items at bargain prices in the parish hall immediately after this service. The people who've worked hard on the sale will be very glad to see you over there. Last year, this sale raised a total of $10,000, which paid the salaries for the teachers of that school last school year and helped start paying for a new classroom for the earliest grades. Haiti, nearby, assisting with needs nearby in that largest diocese of the Episcopal Church. We live in Key West. Cuba is nearby. Multiple times a year, we deliver shipments of the most needed foodstuffs, analgesics, vitamins, other medicines and supplies needed to a companion congregation called St. John the Evangelist in a tiny town called Coliseo in Matanzas Province, Cuba. First test, how will we address human need nearby? These are all excellent things that we've discerned together we should be about. And in this time of community reflection and retreat, how well are we doing with these? Is it too much? Is it too little? Should we keep going? Should we add more? Let's be realistic. What's our bandwidth? We have about 55 people here year-round and about another 55 seasonally. We can do our part, but we need to only do our part and collaborate with other congregations and community organizations to expand, increase our impact. Test two, the jump off the pinnacle of the temple test, asks us as a community, how will we build our reputation, our brand, if you will? Will we take shortcuts to get lots of attention to produce more immediate and possibly very impressive results, flash in the pan? Or will we faithfully do the indicated things, sharing the fact that we are doing them, but faithfully, brick by brick, stone by stone, building the groundwork for future endeavors, even when it's not flashy? Will we do the work we know is ours to do, not do other people's work, and trust God to trust God's part? Test three, the bow down to something or someone other than God test asks us how we will exercise influence. Will we accept as a substitute activity and busyness that will look pretty good to most people, that will appear a good thing, but somehow miss the real thing for us, which is in fact the truth of the gospel? Will we stay on mission as we have it defined it, restoring relationships in the congregation and community, and restoring this beautiful space of hospitality and the other buildings on this campus, which are entrusted to our care? Will we keep moving forward with what we know is ours to do, gaining credibility, building relationships, softening silos, expanding capacity? How will we address human need nearby? How will we build our brand? How will we exercise influence? Some vocational testing for our community retreat, our Lenten journey. As Ash Wednesday, I invite you, in the name of the church, to the observance of a holy Lent, to a season of discernment, alignment, and realignment in your life and in the life of your congregation. Amen.